Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
We are going to get into our message here in just a second. We're doing a series for the whole year. It's just called Jesus, A Look at Mark's Gospel. We're looking at the life, ministry, miracles, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ over the course of the whole year. We're in chapter 4 today. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 4. Where we left off in this series, Jesus had warned religious people. He's really good at doing that. He warned religious people against persistently and unrepentantly rejecting the Holy Spirit. And in Mark chapter 3, he calls that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's relevant because that is why Jesus tells parables. So you might not know why Jesus speaks in parables, but we learn in Mark 3 and 4 why he does. Because those who persistently and unrepentantly reject the Holy Spirit, those who have hard hearts, those who are blasphemous against the Holy Spirit, those who do not have ears to hear, when Jesus speaks, they won't understand. And so Jesus speaks in parables so that those with soft hearts, so that those with ears to hear, so that those who are open to the move of the Spirit in their lives, he speaks in parables so that they will understand. Wilson Joe Yu, one of our elders last week, and he spoke about the parable known as the parable of the sower, and it's a parable about planting seeds. And in this parable, we learn that there is such thing as good soil. And so the reason that Jesus speaks in parables is so that those whose hearts are good soil will hear and receive God's word. Now, we learn in Mark 3 and Mark 4 that the word of God specifically is the good news of his kingdom. We learn in Mark 3 and 4 and 2 and 1 as well that the good news is the good news of Jesus' kingdom, the coming of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. And that Jesus uses this metaphor of a seed to talk about the good news of the coming of his kingdom through him. And so for those who receive God's message, for those who have ears to hear and hear the good news of the coming of the kingdom through Jesus Christ, whose seed falls on good soil, well, what happens to them? What happens is that that good soil receives that good small seed, and that seed can grow into something magnificent. And that's where Wilson kind of left us last weekend. Now, today we're going to continue with the parables of Jesus. We're going to look at two very short parables that Jesus spoke about, and it was all about seeds as well. Now, the reason that Jesus talks about stuff like this is because this is an agricultural community. They would have been very familiar with sowing and harvesting and seeds and plants and all of these things that Jesus talks about. They would have understood very clearly. And so if you could turn with me again to Mark chapter 4. This week, I forgot to give our pastor of operations our verses to put in YouVersion. So normally you can follow along in that app. Not this week. But if you look at Mark chapter 4, we're going to pick this up here in verse number 26. It says, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if. So again, the kingdom of God here specifically is the good news of the coming of Jesus and salvation that is found only through him. And so he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, just like last week. A man scattering seed on the ground. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He says, the man sleeps and rises day and night, and the seed sprouts and the seed grows. Now, Jesus says something interesting. He says, the guy who planted the seed, he doesn't know how the seed grows. He just planted it and then it grows. And it says in verse 28, the earth produces by itself. So he's saying that that seed is going to sprout. He says, first the blade. And so the blade of that plant is going to burst forth from the ground. He says, and then the ear. So I am thinking here of wheat or corn. You've got the blade that comes out of the ground, and then the ear starts to come out of the ground. And then Jesus says, and then the grain comes out of that head. And we're thinking here of corn. We're thinking here of the grains of wheat. And it says this, that when the grain is ripe at once, the man who planted the seed He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I have a sickle backstage I was going to show you, but it would scare some people. I would not the Grim Reaper. And so he puts in this sickle to harvest what has grown. So this is the first text we're going to look at, and the two are related to each other. And this is there's a lot going on here. We could talk about this for months. We've got 10 minutes to talk about this passage. So there's a lot going on here. But what we learn here is that the kingdom of God, which is the good news of the coming of kingdom through Jesus, it's likened once again to a seed. And as it falls on good soil, which is receptive hearts with ears to hear, as it falls on that, it grows mysteriously all on its own. And what Jesus is showing us here, and what he's reminding us of, and what I'm reminding you of today, is that God does all the work in our lives. It is God that saves us, not ourselves. We are saved by grace through faith, not through good works, so that no one can boast. It's all about Jesus, not about us. And so it's God who does the saving. It's God who changes our lives. It's God who grows us and takes us to where he is leading us. It is not me, it is not you, it is not ourselves. The only thing that we must do is receive the seed. We must receive the good news of the kingdom of God coming through Jesus with faith in our hearts, with an open, receptive, non-resistant, good-soiled spirit. We need to receive the news that God gives. And what we learn here is that this seed that Jesus is talking about, the sower doesn't throw the seed into the ground and then immediately, it just immediately is ready for harvest. It takes time. And we know it takes time because Jesus says that the man who planted the seed, he went day and night, day and night. There was a season. There was a season that took place. There is a process. And the process is the first, the seed must sprout out of the ground. And then the blade has to come. And then the ear. And then the grain. And then the harvest. And what I want you to know today is that there is a season for growth. There's a season for growth. And you might ask, what is my season for growth? And here's the answer. Your entire life is a season for growth. You'll never stop growing. There's never a point in your life where you will arrive. There is never a point of your life where you will be good enough. The only reason you're accepted by God through Jesus is because of Jesus. And when you receive the seed of Jesus, the season of growth begins and it starts. And so what I can tell you as a Christian, what I know of the Bible is that God can save you in an instant when you put faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? He saves you in an instant. It is not a progressive salvation, but you are saved in a moment in time for eternity when you put your faith in Jesus and God changes you. The Bible says he gives you a new heart. So you are a new creation. You are born again. You are saved in an instant, but it takes a lifetime to grow. So you might be saved now in an instant when you put faith in Jesus, but there is a lifetime, a season for growth, and there is a season of waiting. And you might say, well, when does that season end? And I just want to tell you, it will end the day that Jesus returns. It will end the day when Jesus brings perfection upon this earth, and that is the time where growing as we know it will cease. But I kind of think, and the Bible doesn't say explicitly, I think we're going to be growing in paradise with Jesus for eternity because we're never going to be at the level of God, but God is the one who is always growing us. So this parable that Jesus is talking about, it is about our personal relationship with Jesus and how we receive it, yes, but it's about something a little bit more. This is also about the worldwide impact that the coming of God's kingdom has on this earth. And let me explain how. The Jewish people, the culture that Jesus came up in and out of, they were expecting a Messiah who would show up with force in an instant. They were expecting a warrior, king, savior, Messiah who would overthrow Roman oppression. They were expecting a Messiah who would come and establish the nation of Israel as the global superpower of its day. That's what the Jews were waiting for. Here's what they were not expecting. They were not expecting a tiny baby who would be born of a teenage virgin in the hick town of Bethlehem. The Jewish establishment was not expecting this tiny baby who would grow in obscurity to become a carpenter. The Jewish religious elite, they were not expecting this carpenter to travel around the country for 3 years telling people to love their enemies. They were not expecting this Jewish carpenter to wander the countryside, coming out of obscurity and coming out of what they perceived to be nowhere, to travel around telling people that in order to become first, they needed to become last. They were not expecting this man to show up and tell them to do away with their religious way of life and to instead embrace the grace way of life. They were expecting this warrior to come in a moment in time. They were not expecting a man who would humble himself and lay down his life on a cursed Roman executioner's cross. But that's exactly how the kingdom came. That is how the kingdom came in Jesus Christ. And listen to how God opened my eyes to this verse this week. There's this analogy of God's seed spreading in our heart. But we've got to understand in this parable that Jesus is the seed. Because the moment that Jesus was born, and as Jesus lived his 33 some odd years, guess what that was? That was the seed falling into the soil that God had prepared. When Jesus was crucified and died and buried in a tomb for 3 days, guess what that was? That was that seed being buried in the ground. When Jesus resurrected from the grave, conquering Satan, sin, hell, and death, guess what that was? That was that seed sprouting out of the earth. And so Jesus himself is the seed, his life, his death, his resurrection. And at the moment of resurrection, that seed began to grow. And 2,000 years later, what's happening to that seed? It's still growing. And it's standing the test of time. And the seed is growing despite the resistance of religion, despite the resistance of political power, despite hardened, non-receptive, blasphemous hearts. God's kingdom continues to grow today. And it grows in the receptive hearts of those who receive him. And so if you've put your trust in Jesus, right now God's kingdom is growing and coming alive in you. And so God's kingdom comes alive and it's working and it's growing and it's expanding today in his church. And what is the church? The church is a counter-cultural grassroots movement of people who are on mission with Jesus Christ. And the church right now, you and I, if you trust in Jesus, you're the church. The church right now is growing. God's kingdom is growing in us, and it's growing as we are awaiting the second coming, the sudden second coming of Jesus. And when Jesus comes, remember, he is the sower who planted the seed to begin with. And when he comes, Jesus will take out that sickle, and he will reap his harvest. And what is the harvest of Jesus Christ that the church is waiting as we grow into his kingdom? Here's what the harvest is. The harvest is those who belong to Jesus, who have put their trust in him, as Jesus will reap them into a harvest of everlasting life. And I pray that that's you and me. And the harvest that the church is growing into now, it is not just that, but the harvest the Bible talks about a lot is also a harvest of those who resist Jesus for eternity, and they will be harvested into everlasting judgment. So the Jews were expecting the Messiah and his kingdom to show up instantly and with force. But Jesus' plan for his kingdom was to come quietly in a manger. Jesus' plan for his kingdom was to grow and take root gradually over time. And I thought about this all week. Why is it Jesus' plan for his kingdom to grow and take root gradually over time? Why? Because of you and me. So that we would have an opportunity to know Christ. The kingdom of God, it was Jesus' plan for that to take root and grow gradually over time so it wouldn't just be a Jewish thing. But it would be a thing which would save people, as the book of Revelation says, of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And so it's taking root. It's growing. And because it's growing, it is reaching more and more people. You see, the first coming of Jesus was a small seed dropped into the soil of this world to grow over time. But the second coming of Jesus, it will come instantly. And it will come with force. So let's continue. Mark 4, verse 30 through 32. He says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use to keep explaining the kingdom of God? He says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed before? It says it's like a grain of mustard seed. This week, I went to the store, Amazon, and what can you buy on Amazon? Anything your heart desires. And 10 years ago, you would have had to like do some phone calls to figure out how to buy mustard seed. But today, you can order mustard seed and have it on your door the next day. Thank God for Prime. And a mustard seed, I can't even open up my fingers big enough to show how big it is. If I were to throw it at you right now, which I just did, no one would know. Now, last night, as we were broadcasting this online, several people said, we could see the mustard seed when you threw it. It's like, we've got some good cameras if it picks that up, because they are minute. At the end of today's service, you'll have an opportunity to hold one of these in your hand. And so these were delivered. Our pastor of operations ordered these, and they were delivered to her home, and her husband, Ryan, brought them to me this week, and they were here for worship practice, and he said, your mountain movers are here, and he meant mustard seeds. We'll explain in a minute. And he said, they came in a box. And so we were expecting a box with the Amazon smile on its face. Like, I want this box of mustard seeds. And so the box came, and here it was. This is a box of mustard seeds that came. And I don't know, like, people online can see this. You probably can't. I thought it said spicy mustard seeds. That's what I thought it said. I'm like, I didn't know that spicy mustard was a breed of mustard that was grown. And so there's a difference between spicy mustard. I wonder if there's a Dijon mustard seed. And is there a Grey Poupon mustard seed? I don't know. But then I looked and I was like, oh, it says Spice Lee. It must be someone's name. The Spice Lee Mustard Seed Farm. And so these are not spicy mustard seeds. These are Spice Lee mustard seeds, not to be confused with Bruce Lee, but Spice Lee. And inside of this tiny, tiny box, I would say Adam's got a cup with him right now. There's probably like 10,000 at least mustard seeds that was in that tiny little box. And so let's get back on our trail. Jesus says, it's like a mustard seed which was sown in the ground. It says, it's the smallest of the seeds in the earth. But when it's sown, it grows and it becomes larger than all the garden plants. And it puts out large branches, so large that birds of the air can actually make nests in its shade. So here he is again, Jesus. He's using this seed, sowing, reaping, harvesting metaphor to explain his kingdom again. But he's emphasizing something different now. We just learned what he meant in the previous three or four verses, but he says that the kingdom of God, it's not just a seed. He emphasizes the tininess of this seed, the minute, tiny qualities of the kingdom of God. And so here's the point. If the smallest seed known to that region, if the smallest seed known to the known world could produce such large results, imagine what the one man, Jesus Christ, can do in the hearts of those who receive him with good soil. If the tiniest seed can grow into the largest of garden plants, it's weird that it's referred to as that, the largest of garden plants, imagine the potential one small act of faith in Christ can have in this life and the life to come. If the smallest seed of all the world can grow into such a large plant that birds can make nests in its branches, imagine the growth you can see in your life if you would simply trust in this one man, Jesus Christ. Man, life might suck right now. Your life might be incredibly difficult. Life may be excruciating for you. For me, I can say without hesitation that 2017 was the most difficult year of my life, and maybe for some of you it was the greatest, God bless you, and for some of you, maybe it was the most difficult. And your life might be really incredibly difficult right now, But take heart and hold on. Because small things inside of you are growing into something different. Your life might be difficult, but I can promise you that in Christ, your life is growing into something better. Your life is growing into something perfect. And your life is growing into something that will multiply, that will be fruitful in Christ. You were made for something greater than what you're experiencing right now. Just be patient. Just hold on, because you're growing into it. You're growing into it in Christ. Can you remember as a small child, like, wanting so badly to grow up? Do you remember? I just wish I could grow up. I wish I could be one of the big kids. I wish that I could get my driver's permit. I wish I could get my driver's license. I wish I was out of my parents' house. How many times do you feel as a 40-year-old man or woman, like, I wish I could go back to those days? So your life might be difficult now, but I promise you it's growing into something better in Christ. And so, church, don't despise small beginnings. Because small things over time grow into something beautiful. Small things over time grow into something magnificent. And I love that Jesus is telling this to his disciples. Because these 12 guys, they left everything to follow Jesus. Their very life would be in danger for following this man, Jesus Christ. In fact, 10 of the 12 would be put to death for following Jesus. One would take his own life, and the other would not lose his life as a result, but would be boiled alive and exiled to a prison island, which is almost worse. They must have been so encouraged, because it must have seemed so insignificant what they were doing there. But Jesus reminds them that they have a kingdom to live for. Jesus reminds them that there was a kingdom that they were growing into. They could be a part of this kingdom. And just like a mustard seed that starts with small beginnings, so too were they. And so like a tiny mustard seed that grew into a mustard plant, Jesus would grow the entire church. Like a small mustard seed that grows into a plant that is large enough to have birds make nest in its branches, Jesus right now is growing his entire kingdom on this earth. Well, where is he doing that? I want you to know that the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is growing right now on one statement, and it's this. It's the statement that Peter made in Matthew 16 to Jesus, where he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you." You don't know how it grows, but day and night, it's growing. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. My Father planted the seed. And he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock, the foundation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And on that day, at Caesarea Philippi, where Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, I like to think of that as a place where that seed was really starting to dig into the soil and the church would be born and begin to grow. But how many of you know good times can turn into bad times real quick? And as that seed was growing, difficult times came upon the movement of the church. In fact, if you go to the death and the crucifixion of Jesus, out of the thousands and thousands of people who at one time took advantage of Jesus for miracles and free lunch, out of the thousands of people who followed Jesus, do you know how many of his disciples sat at the foot of his cross? One man, John the Apostle, along with the mother of Jesus and Mary. Only a few stood at the cross when thousands dared to follow Jesus. But when times got difficult, they all bailed. And so that one man, the Apostle John, sitting at the foot of the cross, what is that? That is mustard seed small beginnings. But don't despise small beginnings. Even after hundreds of people saw the resurrected body of Jesus and heard the resurrected victorious speeches of Jesus, out of the hundreds and the thousands that the news spread to, there was only 120 people who stood on a mountain as Jesus ascended back to the Father. There were only 120 people who gathered in an upper room waiting for the Spirit to fall for the first time on mankind on the day that we know today as the day of Pentecost, only 120. What was that 120? That was a mustard seed small beginning. But don't despise small beginnings, because great things grow out of small beginnings, don't they? Great things come to pass when people put even the smallest amount of faith in Jesus Christ. And so how could 120 men and women, how could 120 people who were hiding in an upper room, how could they take on the religious establishment? How could they take on the Roman government? How could they take on the world? I'll tell you how. On that day, rain began to pour on that seed. On that day, nourishment began to take root inside of that seed, which was the church. And what was that rain? What was the nourishment? It was the nourishment, the rain, the falling, and the infilling of God the Holy Spirit upon God's church. And the moment that the Spirit hit that seed, guess what happened? It began to grow and grow and grow and multiply and reproduce and grow some more. Because the Spirit hit the church and something small grew into something different. And so the small beginnings, that mustard seed of the kingdom of God, today, where is that at? Well, since that day, 2,000 years ago, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not close to a billion, hundreds of millions of people are now a part of that growing kingdom, which is still growing until the day that Jesus returns or he calls you home. Big things which produce big results start small in the hearts of people who trust in Jesus. Big things which produce big results start small in the hearts of people who trust in Jesus. What do you have small in your heart that you can trust in Jesus to grow into something big? And I'm going to turn the corner real sharp here before we start to wrap this idea up. And I want to say, this is very much about Jesus in your life. This is very much about God's kingdom in this world. But I want to make it a little bit more personal for you. Some of you have had visions that God has put in your heart that you have neglected. Some of you have had imaginations and dreams and plans and goals that God put in your heart. And age and maybe marriage and kids and divorce and jobs and money and mortgage payments got in the way where they shouldn't have. Maybe some of you had a vision to become a teacher. There's actually a lot of teachers in our church. Maybe some of you had a vision in your heart that God gave you to be a teacher, and it was a small mustard seed vision that God maybe gave you as a freshman or a sophomore in high school. And what happened to that seed? Well, you spent the next 2 and 3 years working your tail off to make sure that you got the grades needed to be able to get into the university that you wanted, and that seed started to grow. And then when you hit your junior and your senior year, you began to apply for the college that you knew would take you where you needed to be in your education in order for you to educate children, and that seed began to grow a little bit more. And then the spring of your senior year, you might have gotten accepted, or maybe before, into that college that you were applying for, and that seed began to grow just a little bit more, and you spent the next 4 years of your life sacrificing, staying up late at night with way too much caffeine, working on practicum and tests and papers and student teaching, just to get yourself where you could see that vision become a reality. And over those 4 years in college, that tree kept growing. Maybe you decided to get your master's degree and you spent the next 2 years working hard while you were working maybe another job. Maybe even you were already starting to teach, and that seed kept growing and growing and growing. And now finally you're a teacher. But you wouldn't have been a teacher if it wouldn't have been for that small mustard seed vision that God gave you as a freshman or a sophomore in high school. You see, small things turn into big things, and big things come from small things. And it's just a moment in time where you have an idea that you've got to choose to pick up and run with, or you've got to choose to leave it behind and let life get in the way. So now maybe you are a teacher. What are you now? Well, you are a grown mustard plant. And you are now fostering the growth of other freshmen and sophomores who you are helping them instill visions in their mind. God's using you to implant visions in their heart, so use it wisely. And right now, you're instilling vision, and you can begin to help them water those seeds and help them grow. Are you following me? Big things start small in the hearts of people who trust in Jesus Christ. And so you may have some dreams, some visions, some goals right now, and your goal, it's growing towards being accomplished, but goals will never be accomplished if you don't have goals. Happy New Year, by the way. What are your resolutions? Vision is coming to reality, but reality will never be seen if you don't have a vision to begin with. Prayers, Haley just said it a minute ago, prayers won't be answered if you never prayed them. So let's let these mustard seed-sized visions take root, and why don't you start chasing them? Have you received Jesus into your life? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you chosen to follow the ways of Jesus? Have you said yes to all of his ways? Have you grabbed hold of the visions that God has put in your heart? And I can tell you today, you are just a mustard seed away from your life changing in Christ. And some of you have been brought up in such churchy, religious environments that you think that you've got to be perfect to be changed by Jesus. You think that you need to be a mustard plant in order to experience all God has for you. But you don't need to be a mustard plant to come to Jesus. You just need to be a mustard seed. Because in Matthew 17, Jesus said this, and I'll paraphrase. He said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, move, and it would. So your answers to your questions don't need to be answered for your seed to start to grow. You don't have to have your stuff together for your seed to start to grow. You don't have to have life figured out. You don't need to have your things in order. You don't need to be cleaned up for your life to start to grow in Christ. You need to come to Jesus just as I am without one plea. You come with a small mustard seed-sized piece of faith and say, Jesus, this is all I've got. I'm giving it to you because you're my only hope, and I am trusting that you will enable this to grow. Some of you need to grab a hold of the seed of Jesus and his good news for your life. You need to grab a hold of this seed, and you need to watch God grow you this year, not in your own ambitions, but in the ambitions of Jesus. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, because your desires will start to change, and you're going to want what Jesus wants for you, and those things are going to grow. This is the year. So grab hold of that seed and take it. Can I change subjects? Thank you. I want to talk about our church for a second. Now, I understand at least half of you in this room are new people, and we want to say we couldn't be more thrilled that you are here. We want to invite you along this exciting vision and journey that we have for this community. With that being said, our mission as a church, it's to connect people to an everlasting, committed relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. That's what we're all about. But here's our vision. Our vision is who we desire to be. Our vision is to be a multiplying movement. A movement that would multiply. A multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus. Not religious people, not church people, but passionate people who are passionate about Jesus and the things of Jesus. To be a multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus who impact their community and beyond with grace, love, and hope. So I've been the pastor of Fellowship Church for 8 years. And I am so honored and so privileged to stand on the backs of dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of faithful people that built this church to where it was the day that I began to pastor it in 2009. My father founded this church in the 1980s, and without God working on his life and planting a seed of vision in his heart and him being obedient for decades, none of you would be sitting here right now. So thank you. All of us, we don't grow on our own, do we? We grow on the backs of others. In the year 2009, my wife and I accepted the position essentially to be pastors of this church. And at the time, the church was called Bible Center Fellowship, and we changed the name of the church to Fellowship Church. And at that particular time in history, the church was a few dozen people. And just to give you an idea of the demographics, and not speaking ill of the demographics at all, but an idea of where we were, my two kids were one of three or four kids that were in our church at the time. The youngest adults in our church were Ryan and Ladina Doherty, and they're pretty old. And And so we had this desire, we had this passion to reach young people with the gospel. We had a desire, we had a passion to reach old people with the gospel. We had a desire, we had a passion, we had visions and dreams to reach middle-aged people with the gospel. We had a real strong desire to reach children with the gospel and teens with the gospel. And so we had visions and we had dreams. We did not despise small beginnings. And after time, that vision, that mustard seed size vision, it began to grow and grow and multiply and grow. And we saw people that have never made decisions to follow Jesus, making decisions to follow Jesus. Some that are now leaders in our church who have grown up under the care of the leaders in this church. People who were baptized in this church. We've baptized hundreds of people in the last 8 years. And as we began to grow, God began to give me new mustard seed. God began to give some of our leaders new mustard seed vision. And here's three of the visions that God gave us. Number one vision is that this church would be a multiplying church, that we would plant new churches, that we would start new church campuses around this region so we wouldn't just reach people in one neighborhood, but we would reach people simultaneously in multiple neighborhoods and have greater opportunity to minister to people and love on our city. God gave us another vision that was really based off of the first vision, and that was to have a thriving, successful online church community. And the third part of that vision is that God would move us from where we were on Market and Lancaster to a larger property, a larger facility that we could continue to grow in and that would meet the needs of our church community. That was our vision. But about 18 months ago, that vision came to a quick halt. About 18 months ago, our church went through an incredibly difficult time when it came to the sale of our property on Market in Lancaster and the purchase of whatever property God might send us to. And we started to scramble. We didn't know once our property sold where we would meet, if we would have anywhere to meet, if we would be homeless. We didn't know where we would go, what we would do. We were willing to set up in schools, but at that time we weren't super fascinated with that. We're still willing to do that as we grow into more campuses. But we were just like, God, where will we go? And during that time, that year became incredibly difficult. And all the momentum we had experienced up to that point just stopped. And all those visions were put on hold because we had to focus on just simply being instead of progressing. We didn't have to, but a lot of us, that's what we were doing. So we started struggling. We started losing momentum, and we started to forget about the vision. But I can tell you that God is faithful, and if God puts a small vision in your heart, God will see it come to pass to obedient people who are willing to follow His Spirit and His move. And because of faithful leaders that we have in our church, at just the nick of time, as a timeline was put for us to move out of our small property on Market in Lancaster, at just the nick of time, God opened up the perfect property for us. And it's this one. It's the one we're sitting in right now. And we went from having 1 acre to having 7 acres. We went from having very small kid space to having very large kid space. We went from the crowd that we have in this room having to fit double that in our old location. Now you're all here at once. And we had another service last night. What I can tell you is that vision, that dream that God put on our heart, that mustard seed vision of moving to a larger facility, a larger campus, a larger property, that grew into a mustard plant that's known as Fellowship Church Sunnyside. And I think that's a pretty big deal. And I think that God is faithful. And I think that God can take small things and turn them into something we could have never imagined. And the crazy thing is, when our whole property fiasco began, this property was not available. It wasn't available to the very last second. And everything worked in place for us to be here today. Thanks be to God. Now, during that same time, remember, we had a vision to have a thriving online ministry where we could reach people throughout the world with the gospel of what God was doing in Salem, Oregon. But on one January day in the year 2017, about exactly a year ago today, actually, Snowpocalypse 2017 hit. For those of you who've moved here from other states, I apologize. I know we're ridiculous, but it's how it is. And every church in the region canceled that Saturday and that Sunday. But thanks God to small mustard seed visions, I made some calls to our worship team to a couple of our key leaders and said, can we still show up? Because I got an iPhone, and I've got a tripod, and I know we're not even remotely close to starting our FC Online ministry, but let's just throw a seed. Let's see what happens. And on that Saturday and that Sunday, we had over 10,000 people join us for church online because we were the only church in the area having church that day. And we were forced into something we weren't ready for. But how many of you know sometimes that's the best things, when you're forced into something you're not ready for? And from that point forward, we kept broadcasting on phones. And money started coming in. We started buying more equipment. Money's still coming in. We keep buying more equipment. Last month, over $6,000 came in for equipment from Fellowship Church Online. And we continue to grow. And most weeks, we have double or triple the amount of people who gather with us physically, joining us from all over the country. We have people right now in states literally all over the country that we are their home church. You're with us right now. We're your home church. And God's going to begin to do something in you because we just had a mustard seed vision that God gave us, not ourselves. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we baptized our first FC Online participant from South Dakota, came here for GLOW, and we baptized them. That's crazy. Last month, we had people from all over the country begin to support our church financially, support FC Online financially, and to support our building of our remodel in Salem, Oregon financially, just because they said, hey, we're a part of your church. And you are a part of our church in states that are joining us all over the place right this instant. God's kingdom starts small, but it grows into something big. And so a couple of Wednesdays ago, I was sitting in a hot tub for way too long. 3 hours. And it'd been a dry season for me. And for whatever reason, in this 3 hours in the hot tub, God started to rejuvenate me a little bit. And I remembered for some reason that this April I'm going to be 38 years old. And I remembered that 8 years ago I became the pastor of this church. And I remembered that I had a goal to be a senior pastor of a church by the time that I was 30. And God was starting to show me, Anthony, the vision that I gave your church, you've seen it accomplished. It's been 8 years. You had a mustard seed size vision, and now it's reality. And I began to be grateful about how God had grown and how God had reached so many hundreds of people with the gospel, not because of us or me, but because of what God did in our hearts. And I began to reflect on all of that. And God showed me, hey, you have that goal to be a senior pastor by 30. And God is sometimes horrible in reminding us of horrible things. And he reminded me, Anthony, in 2 years, you're going to be 40. I was like, this young thing? No. But he reminded me I was going to be 40, and there's a lot of you in this room that are going to be 40 this next year too. And just in case you forgot. But 40 is the new 21, right? Amen. So he reminded me I was going to be 40, and instantly God just quickened into my mind this idea. What's your goal for 40? You had a goal for 30. You saw your vision accomplished in 8 years. What's your goal for 40? And in an instant, I knew. God showed me what the goal was. And this is what it was. And I believe God speaks to us today. So if you think this is weird, just come to know Jesus. And you know, he speaks to you today. Jesus told me, you put your visions to rest for 18 months. But they never died. Pick them up and run. That was the word. Pick them up and run. Pick the vision up and run. Not just like their ideas, but like their actual things you're working for. Like their actual things you're believing me for. Not just ideas that you share with the church, but things that you do. God said, pick it up. And the goal was to always plant new church campuses and new churches. And God spoke so clearly to me, and I've shared this with our elders and many of our leaders. God spoke so clearly to me that the goal for our church by April of 2021 is that we would start 2 churches in our community. And I was like, God, that's too hard. Don't you know we've got a building to remodel here? Don't you know? And he's like, you can do both. My grace is sufficient for you. And so God started to open up some crazy doors and some crazy opportunities, and God made it very clear. Where are you going to start? If you got to open up 2 Fellowship Church campuses in the next 2 years, where will it begin? And instantly, the answer came because of a conversation that Adam and I had about a week or two before, and that's starting a campus in downtown Salem. And Adam and I hit the streets of downtown Salem, and we found a place that was like, oh, we'll let you use this place. And we began to look and look some more, and doors are opening right now. And so what I'm here to tell you is that our church is going to start two new campuses in the next 2 years, and I'm looking for people who want to be a part of that, who want to be a part of reaching more people for Jesus in our area. Well, we've got so much to do here. Oh, I know. I know. But isn't it great to do it together? Isn't it great to see what God can do and God can accomplish? Where will the second one be? Where will the third one be? I don't know. I've got Woodburn in my heart. I've got Staten in my heart. And I think that God is going to send us back to Northeast Salem. I want to start churches in this city to reach more people for Jesus, where we will work with other churches to spread the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And I want you to be a part of that. One last thing. At the end of all that, there's so much more, but at the end of all that, God reminded me, and he reminded me this, Anthony, your goal was to move to a new building before you started FC Online. Your goal was to start new, to move to a new building before you started new campuses. And I was feeling all sorry for myself that we hadn't seen all the vision take place, but God reminded me it wasn't time yet. We had to get to Sunnyside before we could go to other sites. And I began to remember as I was sharing the vision with all of you and with our church, like, where are we going to plant new churches and new campuses? And God reminded me of an image that I showed our church 3 years ago and 2 years ago. And the image of where we wanted churches to be in our city that we would take part in launching. And show that picture. I want to show you where one of them was. That bottom red one to the left, you know where that is? It's right exactly where we are now. I pulled up that image, and I zoomed in. I went into Google Maps. I'm like, no. And it's right here. So for 4 years, God began to put in our heart that we would be right here because this is exactly where he had for us. And now that we're here, now those other dots can start to show up on the map. So I want to encourage you. Some of you might be pastors someday. Some of you might be youth pastors, worship leaders, first impressions coordinator. Some of you might be a part of launching new churches in our city to reach people, not with Fellowship Church, but with Jesus Christ and his good news. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. And we're looking for people to join us in forming some launch teams to do just that. And we can dream together, we can envision together, and we can see God do big, great, wonderful things. Would you bow your heads as we pray? God, I thank you for small mustard seed visions that you pop into our minds, into our hearts, into the depths of our spirit. And God, I thank you that without you, those visions do not grow. And so, God, we give you all the glory, all the credit for saving us, for calling us, for growing us. We give you all the credit for what you've done in our church. We give you all the credit for what you've done in churches around this world who call on your name. We give you credit for our children like the baby we dedicated. We give you credit for every good thing because your word says every good and perfect gift comes from you. And so, God, we receive those good and perfect gifts with open, receptive, good-soiled hearts. And Lord Jesus, when punches come, we commit to rolling with those punches in faith. And God, when waves of momentum come, we commit to stepping into those waves and riding the momentum while it's here. God, whatever comes our way, we trust you and we will stand against whatever does come our way. And when we have done everything to stand, we're going to stand firm on the foundation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here today joining us on Sunnyside or online that does not know you, I ask that your Spirit would convict them of their sin, would show them their need for a Savior, and give them trust in Jesus to save them from their sins. And if that's you, if you'd say like, whoa, I don't know Jesus, this is an inspirational message about vision, but I don't know Jesus, that's the only thing that matters. Jesus loves you, he died for you, he rose again so that your sins could be forgiven, your relationship with God could be restored, and you could have everlasting life, and he just expects mustard seed faith of trusting in his gift of salvation. And the moment you call upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And this wasn't supposed to be in a great evangelistic message, but I need to obey the Holy Spirit. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes, if you say today, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but today I'm putting faith, not in a religion, not in a church, I'm putting faith in Jesus Christ to be my Savior because I need His help. I don't belong to Jesus. I've never known Him, but today I want to surrender my life to Him. Would you just raise your hand if that's you across this room and say, today I choose Jesus? Today I submit my life to Him. Today I want relationship with God. I need to find forgiveness of sins, and Jesus is the only way. If you're online joining us, if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you today, put your faith in Jesus and let somebody know. We want to help you grow because Jesus can save you in an instant, but church, it takes a lifetime to grow. God, we thank You for Your good grace. We thank You for Your growth. God, we submit this time to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.